How do you learn something about yourself? One of those techniques can be done is called the Johari's window. My name is Stephen Pope. I'm the founder of My Amazon Guy. And in this video, I'm going to walk you through how to share things that are unknown to others, but known to yourself, and then have somebody else share things that they know about you that are unknown to you, so you can discover how to enter the unknown. And this is a really interesting model that I think is helpful both as a management technique, but also very helpful in a peer group, especially with other business owners, other Amazon seller owners, or even agency owners trying to figure out how to solve problems. So I'm going to walk you through this window, the Johari window model, and explain why I use this on a near daily basis. So first, quad one, this is the open section. This is what is known only to myself, but also known to others, right? It's open. Everybody can understand this. So for example, what I know about myself is that I'm an agency owner, and all of you guys who are aware of me also know I'm an agency owner. So that's known to self, known to others. But there are some things that I know about myself in the red quadrant that you don't know. And if I share them, your knowledge window about me opens and you start to discover new things. In addition to that, when I don't know something, so it's in the green quadrant, it's not known to me, but it's known to you because you observed it about me. Let's say I have a really annoying tick or a habit. Maybe I'm clicking a pen in a meeting and I'm doing it and you can see it and it's annoying to you, but it's not known to me, but you bring it up to me. So then I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't realize I was doing that. And it's no longer blind to me. And so the whole theory and concept is that you share things that are hidden to others and they share things that are blind to you. And by doing this, you can start to enter the unknown. And these are things that are not known to either party. So if we were to try and troubleshoot a problem of some kind, maybe a business decision or a challenge you're having with an individual, you can then figure out how to make a choice and move forward. I found myself using this on a sales call yesterday, which is why I decided to shoot this video. I was fascinated that it was so relevant, and guess what happened? They signed the contract today, which meant that the speech worked. So if the speech worked for them, I thought maybe it might work for others as well. So for example, this was a brand that had been in existence for 20 years. They had a bunch of great ideas, but they've been sitting on a lot of those ideas for 3, 4, 5 years. They were scared to make some changes on Amazon. And I said, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do that won't be scary. You know, we can go and make some changes behind the scenes where we don't have to update any designs yet. We can just update some keywords on the back end or make some bid changes or new campaigns on PPC. So that would be kind of like the known section, right? Like things that are known to the business, they're easy to understand. But then there were some other things that were unknown to the business. They were a 1P seller and they're like, well, what if we should start selling on 3P? Could we fix our pricing problem? You know, sometimes Amazon's selling our items too high and we need to bring down the price. And one of those ways we could do that is by opening up a 3P account, Seller Central, and maybe 1P Vendor Central will match the price. And I said, yeah, that's scary, man. That's unknown. Who knows what will happen? I think it'll work, but maybe it won't. And so the question then became, well, how do we make a pathway forward? A lot of times businesses get decision paralysis. There's too much data or too many unknowns. So the thesis that I came with, quite frankly, on the fly was to talk about how it's comfortable to start in the known, but it's inevitable that you must enter the unknown. And I'm a big believer in inevitability arguments. That is, things that must come to pass eventually. It's just a question of when. For example, you must pay taxes. You must die. These are inevitable things. And therefore, if those things are inevitable, it makes certain decisions easier, a la pay your taxes, a la take care of your body so you don't die faster. I don't know. Things like that. So I made the argument that, you know, hey, we could start in the known quadrants and work our way to the unknown after we've built a trusting relationship. But it's inevitable that you will have to go into that unknown sector. But wouldn't it be nice if you went into the unknown sector with somebody who's been there before, right? And we have 400 brands that we work with as an agency. And what you would see on a single account with no support in the course of a year or two even, I see twice a day just by velocity of the number of accounts that we deal with. These situations that cause listing yanks, suppressions, or suspensions, we see on a daily basis. We know how to navigate these things. We know how to solve them. And a business event of such magnitude can take your business out, just completely black swan your situation, can make it so your business has to go under. So let's pull up the window again. And although that was kind of a loose explanation of how to use Johari's window, it very much still accomplishes the same goals, right? We know that there's certain things that we have to do. They're known. But we've got to get into that unknown quadrant. Why? Why does this matter, though? Like, why would I be even shooting a video and explaining the unknown? And it's because the value that is found in the unknown, even if it's just a fraction of size, is typically more impactful, right? When I mentioned the Black Swan events, it's actually a really good book by Taleb, one of the premier inditers of the bell curve, and hedge fund guy, made billions of dollars or whatever using hedge funds. He always talked about how these Black Swan events were more impactful than anything else, right? So, because in his book, The Black Swan, and I'll pull it up here, Black Swan book, right? Very good book, by the way. Very much enjoyed it. And The Impact of Highly Improbable Events. So I read this book like 7 years ago. Very impactful book on my career. So he goes in this book, he talks about casinos. So casinos spend millions and millions of dollars every year trying to prevent cheaters, blackjack counters, and people using magnets and full nine yards, right? Well, then he goes in and he looks at the P&L and he says, well, what's this $50 million charge here? And they're like, oh, well, you know, during the building of the casino, there was a wrongful death termination a lawsuit when somebody died making the casino. And he's like, well, isn't that interesting? How much do you spend on preventing cheating again? And it was like $2 million a year. And then he's like, okay, well, how much cheating costs you a year? And they're like, $5 million. So they ran the math, and this wrongful death situation was like way larger than all of the challenges from these alternative situations that were coming up. And he said, well, you're spending time on the wrong thing. And they're like, what do you mean? Well, of course we got to prevent cheating. And he's like, yeah, but if you'd spent the same amount of time preventing the wrongful death, you would have actually come out more net positive. Big aha moment exists, and we're off to the races. So the point of this is that these improbable events are highly improbable and unpredictable, but super impactful. And other black swan events in history, 9/11, COVID, and even Jesus, right? Like coming and visiting. So these are things that nobody could predict. Nobody knows the timing of, unless we want to make some deep state arguments, of course. But nobody really knows, at least not the public. And they happen and they change everything. So if you could have the power of controlling the black swan and being able to enter into that unknown quadrant by just simply having an hour conversation with somebody, that's super impactful. And it helps you discover the inner workings of your brain, your spirit, your desire, all that good stuff. And once you have a willingness to enter the unknown, a lot of things happen, right? You hear sayings like, the teacher appears when the student is ready. That's the unknown, right? If I can help have discovery about some things that are blind to me, should I go west or should I go east? Well, I don't know, Stephen. Talk to me about that, and then asking the question why 5 times. I can't tell you how often I'll ask the same question repeatedly and get different answers. That is how you enter the unknown. I'm telling you right now, right? So like I'll talk to employees at my Amazon guy and I'll ask them, they're dealing with something. They can't make a decision. Could be a life decision. Could be a simple decision on like how to action an account on Amazon. And I'll ask, you know, why is this impactful? Why does this matter? And instead of spoon feeding them the answer, I which is very difficult for me, by the way, because I have a high ego. I know the answer to everything as far as my brain's concerned. I try not to do it though. Like I am like, it takes a lot of energy for me to not answer questions like that. But what I try and do instead is to funnel my energy into asking questions in back, right? Socrates' method or whatever. And what I found is that the persuasion ability of the self is greater than my ability to persuade, right? So when I was in college, I was on a debate scholarship. I was very good at debate. I beat Harvard's B team at a national tournament, like big, big national tournament. Beat them on a cheap shot, but that's for another day. And so, like, I'm really good at debate. Like, I could you can give me pro, af, neg, whatever. I could start an argument. Now, as valuable as a skill as that is, it's not. What's actually valuable is this technique of persuasion. So if you're trying to persuade a fat guy to lose weight, if you tell them to go work out and eat better, do they do it? No. None of the times do they do it. It never works. But if you start asking questions like, hey, do you want to be able to pick up your grandkids when you're 65? And they're like, yeah, of course I do. Well, data shows that if you're 300 pounds at age 35, that by the time you turn 65, you won't be able to pick up your grandkids. And you ask questions like that. Now, data also shows that when you put on like cigarette cartons, just grotesque images about death, that it actually makes them go smoke more. Why? Because they tend to need the comfort of smoking to get over it. So there's some major takeaways to this, right? Persuasion comes from self, not external sources, which is why a lot of sales techniques, even the Sandler's method, is about using the psychology of self instead of trying to persuade the prospect to purchase by simply asking questions to allow the prospect to make their own decision about purchasing, right? And there's some pretty famous LinkedIn guys like Josh Brom who would say things like, hey, detach, shut the front door, don't have any expectations in the sales process, which would lead merit or value into this concept. But through analyzing problems and asking questions, the self then decides how to answer them. The self decides how to solve them. But you have to get into that unknown, right? By asking questions that were unknown to the prospect or unknown to the person or business owner, that is how you find the solution. So you have to share some things that are not known to the outside that are hidden, and they then will share things that are not known to you. They're observations, but they're your blind spots, right? So blind spots are kind of a big deal, right? Like I can see over here and I can see over here, but I can't see straight ahead right now. That's going to be a problem as I go about living life, quite frankly, running a business, right? Everybody has blind spots. It's guaranteed. The person who is most successful in business is either one of two things. Either they have the largest view and can make the most obvious decisions, right? And there's a lot of people who make really good conclusions about what's coming and they look like a prophet because they can predict what's happening. Those people tend to have really large views. But the second type of really successful business owners tend to be the guys that just simply understand themselves. They know where their own deficits are and they pad around them. So I might be really good at iteration. I can make 1,000 cuts without measuring, but I'll do micro measurements between those cuts, right? So there's a lot of guys that are measured twice, cut once. That ain't me. If you wanted me to put up a painting on the wall, not a good idea. The outcome to that will not be ideal, right? Need to hire a craftsman. But my ability to iterate is very advanced. I can iterate faster than anybody else I know, right? And a lot of the talent books, self-help books or otherwise, they talk about just trying to understand your superpower. I might be a good communicator, I might be a good educator, but what I am world-class in is iteration. Just being able to go, get on the map, and immediately make a micro-adjustment to get where we need to go, right? So if we were going to use flying as an example, You don't have to be perfect while you're flying a plane, but if to get to your destination, but if you make enough micro adjustments, you'll probably have a better time flying that plane versus making one really big course correction, right? And sometimes people are so scared to make any adjustments, they end up just veering off due to the wind or whatever else, and all of a sudden you're in Alaska and you were trying to go to Hawaii, right? And so a micro adjustment along the way frequently seems, from my experience, at least this works for me, get me to my destination faster, more effectively, more efficiently. And I'm all about the efficiencies. I am relentless about efficiencies. And I go through my entire business, soup to nuts, every quarter. I go into every department. I reorg a department every quarter. I make up new roles. I don't even look at my competitors. I just say, hey, what behavior do I want to drive right now? What do my customers want? And then I go spend my time and focus and attention on those things. So to summarize what our conversation was about today, it was about entering into the unknown to make good decisions, to have some of that self-discovery. And the best way to do this is generally with a coach, a mentor, or a good friend who can just simply ask you questions. And if they don't know how to ask questions, but they simply just ask you why five times, that is sometimes enough to find out more about that. It can be difficult to state problems sometimes. Sometimes they're very emotional, and you might have to pull up the emotions chart. The emotions chart from happy, sad, disgruntled, disgusted rather, angry, fearful, bad, surprised, right? And all of these other words can sometimes, you know, if you have a situation and you got a challenge or something, sometimes it might be helpful just to put up the emotions wheel and label that situation. Because if it's not two or three colors on this wheel, it's probably not complicated, right? But most of the time, these big decisions that we're dealing with are complicated dynamic situations where it's both a bad and a happy and an angry thing all simultaneously, which on a face value doesn't make sense. But as you start talking about actual human challenges and problems, maybe it's a marriage counseling situation, it can be a mixed bag of emotions, right? Whether it's career decisions or business decisions, all the same sort of situation happens. They're complicated. So diving into the unknown is the only way to figure out the solution to long-term scalable happiness, to maintain those emotions and to go into it. But it can be scary. So ask the question five whys to get you started. Share things about yourself that are unknown or hidden from everyone else. And those people in turn can then share your blind spots, which will make you go, huh? I didn't know that. I didn't realize that. And then you can dialogue into that final and fourth quadrant, the unknown, and discover much more, ado about nothing, be able to figure it out and make it happen. So hopefully this was a helpful ramble for you. Definitely a little bit different than some of my other videos I put out here, but I like talking about business adventures and discovery and how it is like to run a business. So you may enjoy some of these other videos. I'm pretty crazy. I have like zero unread email video. That one does pretty well. And I did dry fasting, some weird stuff that I get into, but it's a self-discovery journey. So enjoy.